for joining me in today's broadcast. I just believe you're going to be blessed. You're going to be impacted by what I've got to say, because I believe that God's message of unconditional love, mercy and grace will cleanse you from all types of depression, will cleanse you from a low self-worth, and will give you boldness and stability if you can just believe it. It's not just a matter of just praying for somebody to see a change in his life. If we pray, we will see a change. But when you believe, you will live in that change. Amen. You'll make it a reality in your life. God is good and God is only good. And I've seen so many times people struggle the most with believing that God is only good. You know, there's nothing deceitful about God. There's nothing two-faced about God. He's just good. The Bible says God is love. The Bible says God is light, and in Him there is no darkness. Not one little bit of darkness, nothing. Only light. The Bible says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was the light of men because it was full of life. So God, the light that's in Him, is light, is life, and it is light unto you. It will just bring light into your life because of His Word that is full of life, because of His Word is love. Amen. The Bible says that God is the Word and God is love. That means that His Word must be a word of love in order to be a word from God. Amen. That just brings peace into my heart and stability. I want to read a scripture from James, but I'm going to read from the Message translation. It says, "Don't let anyone under pressure to give in to evil say, 'God is trying to trip me up.' God is not impervious to evil, and puts evil in no one's way." Listen to this. God is impervious to evil. One should not say that. He's not impervious to evil, and He puts no evil in anyone's way. So many times we think that evil is put in our way to just make sure that we can be tested to go on to a higher level. You know, tests will not get you onto a higher level. Because in the Old Testament, there were tests galore. I mean, wherever you went, there was a temptation, a test or a trial or something. And then, you know, we believe that the kingdom of God is like a school. You know, you must pass the test, then you go to the next grade. Then you pass the test, then you go to the next grade. That's not the truth. There was one test to be written. That was a test of obedience and a test of holiness to the Word of God. And Jesus Christ passed the test on your behalf, and He graduated. And you are entering into what He has given. You are entering into His fulfillment of the law. You are entering into His obedience by faith. And then you just say, "Well, I've graduated. I'm not writing tests anymore. I've completed all the tests to get somewhere. And what I've got now is I've got a wonderful relationship with the Father by knowing the good things that He says about me." Now that's just a good example of one of the good things that God says about you. He says to you that you've passed the test. He says to you that you've graduated. He says to you that you've qualified. He says you are accepted in the Beloved. You've been engraced by the Beloved, by Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? The Bible says, and as I've shared in the previous broadcast, He says, "Goodwill towards man, a good reputation unto man." That's all the good things that God says about you. Do you know the Bible says the Holy Spirit will remind us of everything we have freely received in Jesus? If you are reminded of the thing that you freely receive in Jesus, it will bring joy into your life. If I tell you today that you've won a car, you've received a car for free, or anything, a microwave, an oven, anything, you've won a competition and you got something for free. What does it bring into your life? It brings joy, excitement and energy into your life. And the devil knows that. He knows that if we can have a revelation of God's Word, of good things that He speaks about us, the Word that says we have received, we have graduated, we have all things that pertains unto life and godliness in Jesus Christ by promises, which was fulfilled by Jesus. He knows if we can believe that, it will create energy in our life, it will create excitement, and will cause us to walk in the power of God. That's why He will come with any type of doctrine and any type of thing that will just get you out of the good news, out of the message of how much God loves you, cares for you, and has given you all things freely. Amen. If you want to be a Christian, you must just settle in your heart that everything's for free. That's it. That's the whole gospel. It's not for... let me put it this way. In the essence, it wasn't for free. There was a payment. But the payment was paid by Jesus, and it's for free for you. So, it wasn't for free. It was paid for by Jesus. But now, because the payment has been done, it's given for free unto you and to everyone that believes. Are you willing to believe? Are you willing to spend some time in the Word of God to just see the good things that God gives unto you freely? You know, when you read this word, you must read it in the perspective of God. Like I said, God's perspective about you is Jesus. God's perspective about you is not you. It's Jesus. And Jesus has washed you, He's cleansed you, He's made you righteous. And because of Jesus, the perspective that God has about you is that you are righteous. You've qualified for every blessing that there could possibly be. You've qualified for every blessing that there could possibly be, and that is what God says about you. That's the way God cares about you. That's the way He is. That's His reality. God's reality is not your obedience, my friend. God's reality is His obedience, the obedience of Jesus. You know, God can never build upon your life. He can never build upon what happens in this world, because this is temporary. This is all going to change, the Bible says. This is going to be glorified. This is what you see in this planet. It's all going to be done away with. So how can God build upon that? How can God base who He is upon what you do? He cannot. He will base who He is upon what He's done. He will live a life of love towards you because He is love. Say you are somebody just full of life and full of love, and there comes somebody and he does something wrong, and you say, well, I'm going to change my whole attitude of how I treat people because this guy has lived contrary to what I think he should live. I'm changing my nature now. I'm going to just be harsh to him, and I'm going to show him no love. You know, it's easy to love those that love you, but what's difficult is to love those that hate you. And that's what God specializes in, to love them that hates Him. He loves all people. He gave His Son while we were all sinners. That's what He's done. He cares for us. And He will only speak good things about you, and He's never going to change. Amen. Let's read that scripture further on. It says here, let's start again from the top. It says, don't let anyone under pressure to give in to evil say, God is tripping me up. God is impervious to evil and puts evil in one's way. The temptation to give in to evil comes from us and only us. We have no one to blame but the leering, seducing flare-up of our own lust. Lust gets pregnant and has a baby called sin. Sin grows up to adulthood and becomes a real killer. So, my very dear friend, don't get thrown off course. Every desirable and every beneficial gift comes out of heaven. The gift are rivers of light cascading down from the Father of light. There's nothing deceitful in God. Listen to this. The gifts are rivers of light cascading down from the Father of light. There is nothing deceitful in God, nothing two-faced, nothing fickle. He brought us to life using the true word. See, the way God brings us to life is by using His word, showing us off as the crown of all His creatures. Isn't that wonderful? There's nothing deceitful about God, and there's nothing two-faced about God. God doesn't have two sides. You know what you call somebody that's got two sides? Two-faced, a hypocrite. Now, if I can smile today and tomorrow I don't smile, I'm called a hypocrite. You know, the Bible says that a fountain cannot bring forth good and bad. That's what the Bible says in the book of Matthew. It says unto the Pharisees, how can you that are evil speak good things? That means for you to say something good, you need to be good in your heart. And if you are bad in your heart, you need to say bad things, or you will say bad things. Do you know why God can only speak good? Because He is good. The Bible says God is good. Matthew, where does the Bible say God is good? Jesus, a man came to Jesus, said, good master. And Jesus said, why do you call me good? Because there's just one that is good, and that is God. Hallelujah. God is good. That means out of His abundance, out of His heart will only come words that is good. Amen. The Bible says so clearly, if one wants to prophesy in a church, the prophecy must be edification and exhortation and comfort. Otherwise, it's not a prophecy from God. It's not encouragement from God. It must be edification, exhortation, and comfort. And then Paul says, if somebody wants to call him a prophet, he must believe the doctrine that I've laid down. And what Paul has laid down is the message of faith, righteousness, because of God's unconditional love. Isn't that powerful? That's what God has given unto you. That's what will produce life. If you can just say, I humble myself to believe it. Maybe you're in a situation where you don't have a job. Maybe you're in a situation where you struggle with your wife and your children. You feel like a miserable father. Or you're a mother. All you do every day is shout at your children. And you just feel so fed up sometimes. But God has got a good word to say about you. There was a woman caught in the act of adultery. The Pharisees, the word that they spoke was a word of death. It said, kill her, stone her. But the word that Jesus spoke was, I don't condemn you. And that's what I want to tell unto you. I want to say this. God says, I don't condemn you. Hear the good word that can produce life in your life and that you can start to live a life full of life, full of God's light. Amen. I want to read a scripture from Proverbs chapter 16 from the Amplified Bible. And this is really going to bless you. We must know that God doesn't cleanse us because of situations or through situations. He cleanses us through His Word. That's what the Bible says. And anything but that's not the truth. You bet, but you bold to say that. I am bold in the goodness of God. I'm not careful to hear the good news of Jesus. I am open to hear the good news of Jesus. But I'm very careful to hear a message that wants to condone good works to get something from God. I'm very careful to hear that, because that will produce death in my life. That will produce frustration. The moment you believe that you need to do something to get something from God, there's two things wrong with what you believe. The first thing is, you don't believe God has given all things unto you in Jesus Christ because you want to get something. The second thing is, you believe that by what you do, you're going to receive. And in that way, you actually, I know a lot of people don't do that willingly, you're actually trampling underfoot what God has done in Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't want that. I'm going to, by what I do, receive. Now, that is wrong. That's not the way God wants it. That is the way that will produce death in you. It will produce a mindset of lack and need in your life. That's all that it will produce. We need to believe that God is unconditionally good. Now let's read from Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 6. And what I'm going to show you here is that God's word cleanses us. It says, by mercy and love, truth and fidelity, iniquity is purged out of the heart. By mercy and love, truth and fidelity, iniquity is purged out of the heart. Do you sometimes feel that you've got sin in your heart? You've got iniquity in your heart? Now, I've heard a definition of iniquity once. It says iniquity is the very ability to sin. That is purged from the heart by mercy and truth and fidelity and the love of God. Now, what does that mean? You must realize that the Bible says God is the Word. So if you want to know the mercy of God, it will be a word of mercy. So by having and knowing a word about the mercy of God, to have a word about the love of God, to have a word about the truth of God, and to have a word about God's fidelity or faithfulness towards His being merciful, towards loving you, towards walking in the truth, that will purge iniquity out of your heart if you can hear it and believe it. Amen. I just want to hear the good news. Man, that brings such a great joy within me. Especially when I go and I preach in the townships. You know, when you see the sinners standing there. People standing there with cigarettes and the open air gospel crusade. They're drinking their beers on the gospel crusade. I mean, they are sinners. That's what they do. That's who they are, and that's what they do. They sin. Professionally they sin. And you just preach this message, and you can just see the amazement upon the people's faces. The hope that comes into their lives. The hope in their eyes shining, saying, man, that's good news. And if you just say, who of you want to commit your life unto Jesus because of His commitment that He's made unto you? Who of you want to call Him Lord or boss over your life? He's such a good God. And you see such a response, people running forward saying, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to just, and we understand what we say about giving our life to Jesus. I want to just say, Lord, you be boss over my life because you are better to me than what I could ever be unto myself. Isn't that good news? That's the gospel. Amen. You know, the word evangelist comes from the word gospel. And Afrikaans has said so beautifully. It's the word evangelie. And evangelis means a gospel. The gospel, and the literal translation will be a gospeler, is an evangelist. Somebody just takes the good news and preaches it to the lost. Amen. That's what I believe all of us are supposed to do. And in churches, pastors, prophets, I don't care who you are, just prophesy the message of exhortation, comfort, and God's love and mercy. And we will see people really being touched by God's unconditional love. This is what he says here. He says the word of God's mercy, the word of God's love, the word of God's truth and fidelity, that will purge sin out of the hearts of people. Now, how will God get sin out of your life? By telling you about mercy. Amen, man. I feel like shouting. By telling you about mercy, how will He get sin out of your heart? By telling you about love. How will He get sin out of your heart? By telling you about truth. By living in truth. Oh, Bert, you see, there's the thing. Truth. What is truth? The true definition of truth, I believe, is a consciousness of Jesus and not a consciousness of sins. A consciousness of Jesus and not a consciousness of anything else. If you walk in truth, the truth about the human race is found in Jesus. The truth about your sin is found in Jesus. Your sins have been forgiven. Your sins are washed away. The truth about your righteousness is found in Jesus. He was made sin so that you can become the righteousness of God. The truth about sacrifices and all those things are in Jesus. He was the propitiation for my sins. The truth about my life and my future is found in Jesus. I am resurrected with Him and seated at the right hand of the Father. So what the Father will always do is He will tell you about Jesus. He will tell you about mercy. Mercy. The word mercy means to be treated. My definition about mercy is this. Deeds of compassion. Now listen carefully. Deeds of compassion that flows from the innermost being, the core or the spine of God, with a purpose to treat you better than what you deserve. Let me repeat that. Deeds of compassion that flows from the innermost being or the core of God with a purpose to treat you better than what you deserve. That's mercy. What is love? The Bible says love is to live through Jesus. So what will God tell you about love? He will tell you the ability you have in Jesus Christ. Truth. How you are, who you are because of Jesus, and fidelity, God's faithfulness to always tell you about mercy, always tell you about His love, always act towards you because of the truth. Amen. That is good news. And by knowing that, sin will be removed from your heart because you will be full of light. You'll be full of the revelation of the finished work of Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? Amen. We need to read some other scriptures. And I want us to turn to John chapter 15. And we're going to read from verse 3. I want to read it from the King James Version. John chapter 15 and from verse 1. John 15 from verse 1. This is really powerful. Remember what we said. God uses His Word to create things in your life. You need to believe that God is a God of love. He's a God of goodness. He's a God that cares for you. And that will produce holiness in your life. That will cleanse you. We're going to see that in the scripture today. It says, I am the true vine. 15 verses 1. I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He purges or prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Isn't that wonderful? And what he says, if a branch doesn't bear fruit, he takes it away. And so many times we think that take away is to cut it off and to throw it and away and to burn it. Now that's not what the word take away there means. Well, I don't know why they translated that word as take away. In the Greek it literally means to lift up. Shabbat, but it cannot mean that. Let's use an example in your own life. Have you sometimes felt that you failed God? Of course. Was there a time in your life where you felt, I'm not bearing fruit? Of course there will be a time like that. Did God cut you off and burn you? Or did He lift you up and encouraged you? Maybe you're not bearing fruit right now. Isn't God lifting you up right now through this broadcast? That's what He's doing. He's lifting you up and He's encouraging you. He's speaking good words about you, because that's the only way in which He can produce good in you, is by speaking what is good. Hallelujah. Now that's what that word means. If you don't bear fruit, He's going to lift you up. And if you do bear fruit, He's going to clean you. In other words, if there's some fruit in your life, He wants you to bear much fruit. Therefore, He's going to cleanse you. How's He going to cleanse you? What did we see in Proverbs 16? We saw that He will make us clean by mercy. He will cleanse us. He will prune us. So many times we think that God will make us clean by taking away certain things in our lives. Now that is true. If there's sin in your life, God wants that sin to be taken away. He took it away in Jesus Christ. Not in you. He took it away in Jesus. But He wants that taking away of sin to manifest in your life. And how will it manifest? By His Word. Let's read it. You know, so many times I was so scared of God, because I was so scared to like my bicycle too much, because if I like it too much and I like cycling too much, God's going to just take it out of my life, because He's a jealous God and He's going to cleanse me up by taking that away. And I just, the whole time when I thought about pruning, when I thought about God cleansing me, I had pain in my subconscious mind. Man, think of a facial, especially you ladies. When you go for a facial, they're cleansing your skin. Do you think of pain when you go there? No, you think of relaxation. You think of a wonderful time. That's it. When you think of a bath, if you think you're going to go and take a shower or a bath, do you think of pain? No, you think of a time where you're going to be cleansed and where you're going to relax and just be washed. Now that's the same way when we think about God, that we're supposed to think when we think about God cleansing us. Hallelujah. Let's read verse 3, and this is powerful. Verse 3 is powerful. It says, this is what He said unto His disciples. It says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So what cleansed these disciples? He said unto them, now you are clean. Now you are pruned by the word that I've spoken unto you. And I want to declare over there today, now you are clean by this word that I've spoken unto you. Now what word did He speak unto them? And I wrote it down here. He spoke a word. If you go and read in chapter 14, it's where Peter, end of chapter 13, Peter wanted to deny the Lord. He said to the Lord, I'm not going to deny you. Jesus said to him, you're going to deny me 3 times. Then He said to him, I'm going to prepare a place for you, Peter, even if you're going to deny me. So He spoke about His mercy. He spoke about His forgiveness. He spoke about a place that He was going to prepare for us. He spoke about a comforter that will be given unto us. And He spoke about peace that He gives unto us freely. And then comes chapter 15. He said, you have been cleansed by this word. This word of me preparing a place for you. This word of I'm carrying the price for you. This word of me giving you peace and giving you a comforter. That is the word that will cleanse you and bring righteousness into your life. Man, that is good news. Hallelujah. That is the true power of God. That's what He gives unto you. Amen. I want you to receive that into your heart. Doesn't help we say, well, I've heard this word. I've listened to this word, but I have not received it. We need to open our hearts to the gospel. We need to open our hearts to say, there's no dark side about God. We need to open our hearts and say, there's nothing two-faced about God. You know, the day I realized that God's not two-faced, the day I realized God's not like a coin. We cannot explain God in human terms. If you want to use a coin or this principles of this world to explain God, you're going to make a big mistake. Sometimes people say God's like a coin. The one side is heads, the other side's tails. The one guy says God is a God of judgment, the other one says God's a God of love. But we're speaking about the same thing. Now that's just two-faced. That's just hypocritical. That's just plain forward stupid. You just cannot believe that way. That's not the way you're supposed to see God, because you know what? You will experience an up and down, if you think like that. Because the one side of God, you just experience, it's an up, He loves you. The other one is a condemnation, fault-finding side, where He just wants to judge your sins, which has been judged in Jesus already. You will not receive that judgment for your sins anymore. You'll only receive judgment for not believing in Jesus. So let's believe God is only good, and that will lift your life up. Amen. I want us to pray together, and I believe God's going to touch you. I first want to pray for the sick people today. If you've got sickness in your body, God wants to heal you. You don't have to walk with AIDS. You don't have to walk with cancer. You don't have to walk with that migraine. You don't have to walk with that. I just experienced in my heart, there's somebody that's your one ear is becoming deaf. God just says, I'm healing that right now in Jesus' name. You just feel like a pop emotion in your pop feeling in your ear, and it's just opened. Just start to thank God. Amen. I just believe God's touched you. Let's just pray. Father, I speak over every sick person in the mighty name of Jesus. I rebuke all sickness by saying the life of God is over you right now. The presence of the Almighty is over you. The radiance of God shines into your life right now and heals you from all cancerous cells, that heals you from all viruses in Jesus' mighty name. All headache, all migraine, everything leaves right now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God loves you and God bless you, and receive the peace of God and His good word. Amen.